This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, what's up, everybody? So we have some characters that kind of make up, well, especially the band. I don't know kind of where you're at as far as like personalities and like to do you guys like to read people? Do you like to kind of try to figure people out and how people? Why are y'all so excited about that? Listen, I'll say some really good stuff and you guys look at me like I'm a fool, and I'll say something that makes no sense and you're like, yeah, pastor, ah, right? Anyway, so our band, creatives, are the messiest people on the face of the earth. Artists, creators, painters, musicians, they're just messy, right? Their brain, I guess, what, right brain, is just like, there's no organization, there's no structure. So when you walk in on a Sunday morning, for example, there are water bottles everywhere. There are water bottles on the rafters. And I'm like, I have no idea how they got there, but they are so talented. So we tolerate them, we love them, and we keep them around. They do some funny things. I love our band. All of that to say, I love our band, and Shelly and Jordan do such a fantastic job leading that squad. Are y'all appreciative? Okay. Really, that was all to say, Mitch, the drummer, just screamed like a girl during the bumper. I don't know if you guys heard that or not, but he definitely did. So we're continuing a series this week called Sinister, and if you've missed any of it, I'll kind of catch you up to speed and let you know where we've been and obviously where we're headed. So Sinister is, it's really a series about the fact that each and every one of us have a sin nature. Now, some of us may be stronger than others. So he's like, yeah, we do. And you know what's so funny about it? She always looks at me when she says stuff like that. And I'm like, I know, I'm admitting, I am confessing, right? So we all deal with it. It's something that every single person has to confront, has to go to battle with, like we talked about a few weeks ago. And so I don't ever want anybody to come to this church and think that we've got it all together. Nope, right? We just don't, and we're never going to pretend that we do, because I think that is so off-putting when people, because this is what, and maybe this is just my personal experience, maybe this is the way that it's worked out for me. The people who pretend the most typically have the most to hide. Right? The people who act like they've got it together the most usually have the darkest and most skeletons in their closets, right? And so, man, we just don't want to pretend. I don't think Jesus is okay with us pretending. I think he wants us to be honest. I think he wants us to change. I think he wants to see transformation and growth, but he doesn't want us to pretend like we are something that we're not, right? So sin is something that we struggle with, and it is destructive. That's destructive. Right? It's one word, but we just say it like it's two. You do that for emphasis, right? It is destructive. Have you noticed? This is what sin wants to do. Ultimately, sin's objective is to create a wedge between you and God. It is a separator. It creates this chasm between us and God. Now, Jesus is the bridge, right? We understand that, and that we can't do that on our own. But this is what else it does. And I think sometimes we forget about the ramifications of sin, not just on our relationship with God, but on our relationship with each other. How many times do you think our problems in our relationship come back to sin? 100% of the time. We're either being selfish, we're being arrogant, we're being prideful, we're being greedy, right? There's one or both of the parties is engaged in sin when there's conflict within a relationship. And so the fact that we know that we've got to deal with it, it just helps us to be more successful, more aware, and we learn how to combat sin. So we talked about the first week that what we feed grows. If you feed it, it is a monster, right? It's a small monster. It's a cute monster. Because I don't know how you grew up. I grew up in the 80s, like, you know, born in the 80s. 90s is where I hit my stride, like we talked about last series. The greatest decade in all of human history. But in the 80s, there was this show that came out called Gremlins. And they were so cute until they weren't, right? And then they got ugly, right? Just ugly. And so monsters may be cute at first, but they're going to get ugly if you feed it. So what you feed grows, and but you have to starve the monster, starve the sin in your life. Stop giving sin opportunities for growth. Stop giving sin access to your life, because you know you're going to create a lot of other issues, which is what we talked about last week, that what we focus on grows, what you feed grows, and what you focus on grows. And I think a lot of it is the way that we approach mentally the struggles in our life. A lot of times, I think we just dwell on what we've done wrong. We dwell on, and I think, I don't know why we do this. It's so frustrating. But for example, have you guys watched the news lately? How many of you have? The ones who are frowning. How many of you have not? The ones who are smiling. I'm kidding. Because it's all negative, right? And they know that human nature is inclined to, drawn to negativity. And I think that for whatever reason, when it comes to sin, it's kind of the same way. We are negatively inclined. So we focus on all the things that we've done wrong and all the things that we can't do and all the struggles that we have, instead of focusing on, maybe this is the way that God wants me to live. Maybe we focus on love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It's not a coconut. There's a song Shelley taught a long time ago. I'll let her deal with that and you on that one, right? So what you focus on grows. But if what you focus on grows, then what you ignore dies. What you ignore dies. That was really funny. I mean, to me, you guys clearly are not entertained. Are you not entertained? What you focus on grows, but what you ignore dies. This week, we're going to look at kind of a more combative aspect of dealing with sin. Now, I think that sin is, it's an enemy of ours, right? It is a mortal enemy. It wants to destroy you. And if that's the case, then I think we have to be prepared to fight back. We have to be prepared to fight back. Now, some people are more pacifists, right? You don't necessarily care to fight. If that's the case, prepare to get your butt handed to you, right? Because sin ain't playing with you. Or as we say it where I come from, sin ain't playing with you. Sin is not messing around. Sin is not your friend. Sin, its intent, as we talked about last week, is to destroy you. So that being the case, the response is combat, right? The response is to fight. And there are different ways that we're going to look at as to how it is that you can fight. Sin is an adversary. It's not something that we can allow to hang around. It's not something that you should flirt with. Like we talked about last week, if you don't want to slip, then don't walk where the slippery slope is, right? So we don't just kind of like, you know, like allow it to continue to be in our life and on the fringes of our life. We have to fight sin. So that's what we talked about, or that's what we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to look at a couple of different approaches to this, different ways to fight. And we're going to call today's message, Don't Go Upstairs. Don't go upstairs. Have you guys ever noticed in like scary movies, the people, the protagonists, right? The people who are supposed to be the good guys. And it's always, people are so dumb. So in scary movies, people always do exactly the opposite of what they should do, right? So you have, like, I don't know, an opportunity to escape or an opportunity to defend yourself, protect yourself, or defeat the enemy, and they always do exactly the opposite of what they're supposed to do. And so what we're going to talk about today is, hey, let's talk about the right ways to deal with this enemy and not do it the wrong way. So don't go upstairs. In fact, there's a commercial. You've probably seen this on TV. It's kind of like a reboot. They've showed it for the last few years. And it's a Geico commercial that kind of, let's just watch it. It'd be even better.
Let's hide in the attic.
No, in the basement. Why can't we just get in the running car?
Are you crazy? Let's hide behind the chainsaws.
Smart. Yeah, okay.
If you're in a horror movie, you make poor decisions. That's what you do.
Shh, I'm being quiet. Breathing on me.
If you want to save 15% or more on car insurance, you switch to Geico. It's what you do.
Let's head to the cemetery. Right, all right. So don't go upstairs. Don't be an idiot, right? Get into the running car and get away. And so what we're going to talk about is a couple ways that we fight back against sin. And the first point, just 2 points today. Somebody say amen. Don't do it. Just 2 points today. The first one is this. Fight like hell. Let me explain, right? This is not just for shock value. Fight like hell. And so the first fight strategy when it comes to dealing with confronting sin is to fight back. Is if I teach my kids, now I don't know what you teach your kids. We believe in, you know, turn the other cheek, but you only got two cheeks. So if you turn the other cheek, then it's try Jesus. Don't try me, right? Man, I love this church. Golly. I tell people, I'm like, y'all, we like from the south side of the kingdom. We got people who are like, here's the line of salvation. And we just don't, like, we can still reach back across. You know what I'm saying? Y'all stop. So you have to fight sin. You have to fight it. You have to fight it every single day. Like we talked about previously, it is a battle. Again, one word, but if you say it like it's two words, there's emphasis, right? It's a battle. And so we have to confront it. We have to deal with it. We have to fight it. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13 kind of gives some language to this, gives some teeth to it, right? It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Why else would you be putting on armor? Nobody, this is not cosplay, homie, right? When you put on armor, it's time to fight. It's time to go. It's time to throw. It's time to, you know, no more like talking. You don't want to smoke. It's time to fight. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, I think that's important because we get so frustrated with people. Right? Look, I don't know. I'll incriminate myself here. I look at social media sometimes, and I want to what is wrong with you? You are so dumb. But I know you guys don't do that. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're not fighting against people. You're fighting against something so much bigger than that, right? And sin is kind of the driving force of this evil that we fight. Therefore, verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God. It told us to do it twice. It's not a joke, right? Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. One version, I think it's the King James, it says, to stand therefore. Like once you've put on your armor and you've got prepared and you're ready to go, like, let's go, right? Stand therefore. And so the title of this message is not just for shock value. I think that there are certain tactics that hell employs in fighting you that it would be wise of us to fight fire with fire. I think that there are certain things that when we are fighting against sin, sin is fighting against us with these, again, tactics. And I think we can use those tactics in the same way back at them. And it's so fascinating. I was watching a documentary several years ago, and there was a massive fire in the Middle East, like kind of an oil fire. It was a derrick that had caught on fire. And it's like this fire is raging out of control. And it was mind-blowing that they would actually start another fire to consume that fire, and it would put both fires out. And it was just kind of like, you know, this equal and opposite reaction. Interesting. So John chapter 10, verse 10, it says this. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. The thief, the devil, the enemy of our souls, the one who is the kind of the origin, the father of sin, that's what he desires to do, is to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So understanding a few things here. The devil is the thief. He is the mastermind general of the sin army. And he's pretty crafty, I'm not going to lie, right? I hate to give, you know, stupid people credit, but he's pretty crafty because he's tripped me up a handful of times and he's tripped you up a handful of times, right? So let's give him just that much due, right? So understanding that he knows what he's doing, I think we need to be prepared to fight. So the first tactic that sin employs in this battle to get us to fall victim to be prey to sin is tenacity. Have you ever noticed that it just doesn't stop? Unless you've arrived, like you've gotten to that place. I don't know anybody, but if you it, I, right? It's sin is tenacious. It is. It comes and it keeps coming and it keeps coming. It whelms and then it overwhelms, right? It is tenacious. It just doesn't stop. I heard a story one time. This is probably immature, but since we talked about fighting earlier, I'll tell you. I had a friend one time. This was pre-Jesus. And he was a pretty big dude. He was pretty buff. And he said he went into a bar. He was in college. He was being stupid. He was wilding out, right? And so he went into a bar. He was a big college baseball player. And he said this little bitty dude was talking trash. And he's like, man, I just popped him. Knocked him on the ground. I was like, that's that. And he said, the dude got up. And I hit him again, and I knocked him on the ground, and he got up. And before it was all said and done, the little dude that got knocked on the ground about three times got up and beat his tail because he didn't quit. He was tenacious, right? And I think that sin is tenacious. I think sin, yeah, I knocked it down. I dealt with it. I confronted it, you know, this week, and then next week it comes back. And yeah, I dealt with it. I confronted it. I knocked it on the ground, and then the next week it comes back. And it comes back, and it comes back. And if you don't keep hitting it in the teeth, it's going to keep coming back. And eventually, it will beat you, right? It will overcome you if you don't keep fighting back. It is tenacious. So what if we responded with the same level of tenacity? I don't know what your kind of how you feel about history. I love history. It is so fascinating to me. Because this is what I think is most fascinating about history. You could take any one of us and transplant us to any period in history, and humans are still the same. We are jacked up, right? You have all of the same problems then that you do now. Now we just have technology that compounds our problems, right? And so I love history. So in history, in kind of, again, military history and wars and battles, there was a specific brand or genre of warrior that they actually called a berserker. A berserker. And I think you can imagine what their role was. These are the ones, probably not the sharpest tools in the shed, right? Probably had like a little drool. And the eyes, you can always tell somebody's crazy by the eyes. If they've got more white than they do pupil and all, they're crazy. They are crazy. Berserkers were probably like that. They're like, like the deep breathing, right? They're just, and so when it came time to fight, the berserkers would actually, they would charge headlong into the front lines of the enemy army. They were tenacious. Now they usually died. But, what if we had that same level of tenacity, the same tenacity that sin comes at us with, what if we come at it with the same level of tenacity? What if we match the intensity of hell when it comes to fighting sin? Again, it's a monster, right? And if you don't deal with it, it becomes a man-eating monster. Maybe it's cute now, but it's not always going to be cute. Fight sin with tenacity. And here's the thing. Let me kind of give some clarification here. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you struggle with. I don't know what your weakness is, but whatever it is, fight it with tenacity. Don't entertain it. Don't put a leash on it and call it a pet. That's a monster. Tavian, yeah, I'll tell you guys. Is Tavian in here? My bad, dog. So when Tavian was little bitty, he was like 4 years old, and so he'd come home, and we lived kind of out in the country, and we had a big, beautiful dog that was, funny story, let me back this thing up. So, Shelly, all of our lives said that we will never own a pit bull. We just will not. They're awful dogs. They're mean, right? And then Shelly shows up one day with a pit bull puppy. And she's like, it was so cute. It was on the side of the road. This guy was giving him away. You know, just like, but it's a mutt. I'm like, baby, that's not a mutt. That's a pit bull. And so, anyway, turned out to be one of the greatest dogs. And she still argued with me about it. She's like, that's not a pit bull. Took it to the vet. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's a red pit. And she was like, my bad. So, anyway, Tavian would come home, and her name was Daisy with a Z, right, because we're different. So we'd come home, and Daisy would be on the porch, and she was, you know, very intimidating, but the sweetest dog in the world. She'd be like, ruh, ruh, right, and she'd start coming out. And Tavian was like, it's a monster. It's a monster. He was so scared of Daisy. But you know what we did? We put a leash on it, and but you can't do that with sin. You cannot do what we did with Daisy. Because Daisy is a pit bull, and she will bite you. Sin is a pit bull, and it will attack you. It is tenacious. Don't entertain it. Don't justify it. Y'all. Y'all know how bad we are at this? Anybody else ever done that? Man, I can justify just about every wrong thing that I've done, and it's usually your fault. Am I wrong? Right, man, we can justify. Let's stop justifying stuff. Let's stop justifying sin, because what we're doing is we're lowering our tenacity, and we're just allowing sin to have more room and more room in our life. Don't entertain it. Don't justify it. And sure the heck, don't coddle it. Right? Like we said last week, God help us. If we get to a point in our lives, or we get to a point as a movement, as followers of Jesus, where we are scared to call wrong, wrong, and right, right. And even worse, if we start to call good, evil, and evil, good. Because that's going to happen, right? This is the direction that our world is heading, so we have to have spines enough and be tenacious enough to call right, right, and to call wrong, wrong. So that's the first tactic is, man, be a little berserker. But just don't do like the crazy, right? Another tactic that sin will use is what we have come to call, if you wanted to put some language to it, we call it strength in numbers. Again, like we talked about how it just keeps coming, it keeps coming. Not only does it keep coming in levels of, or in terms of tenacity, but it also keeps coming in terms of volume, right? It whelms and then it overwhelms, and we are inundated and we are overwhelmed with the volume of sin and temptation. Have you ever noticed that temptation, it just comes in waves, right? And it really doesn't matter what your weakness is. It doesn't matter what your struggle is. It doesn't matter where sin tries to find a chink in your armor and attack, and where it chooses to pinpoint. It doesn't really matter what that is. What matters is that it comes in waves. Let's say, for example, that maybe your weakness is lust, right? I don't think anybody's ever struggled with that, but just hypothetically. If it's lust, did you know, I heard a statistic one time, that there are more sexual images on the internet than there are people in the world. 7 billion people in the world, and there are more sexual images on the internet than there are people in the world at the touch of your fingers, right? At your fingertips. It comes in waves. It comes in volume. It has strength in numbers. Maybe your weakness is greed, and you are confronted every single day, every single week, with opportunities to take advantage of other people. Usually it's hello? We're calling about your cars. I'm just kidding. Does that not happen? Yeah, you call your car's extended warranty. Or you get an email about, I didn't know I had a crazy rich uncle in Nigeria. I had no idea. But those are crazy examples. But let's be honest, right? There are several opportunities all of the time to take advantage of people. And unfortunately, some people do. So if your weakness is greed, then you will be inundated and overwhelmed with opportunities to take advantage of people. If your weakness is jealousy, envy, or insecurity, hello, social media, right? Where you get to see all of the highlights and all of the successes and all of the accomplishments, but none of the failures of other people, and then you start to compare yourself to them, And obviously, you will lose when you do that because you're comparing yourself to a prism, right? To something that isn't real, something that doesn't actually exist. Y'all know that comparison is the thief of joy, right? And yet we still do it. Blows me away. I do it. I'm so stupid. I need a black couch. Just lay down, start talking about all my problems. So whatever your weakness is, whatever it is that you struggle with, like you are overcome because of the volume. You can be overcome because of the volume. Sin victors in volume. Sin victors in volume. But so do we. We have strength in our numbers too. Right? It's not just that sin is the only one that gets to take advantage of this numbers game. We get to take advantage of this numbers game. Sin loses its power when it's brought to light. And the way that we bring it to light is we share with other people. I mean, sin is darkness. And when we share with other people the things that we're going through, the struggles that we're having, the weaknesses that we're dealing with, the sin that is maybe just, you know, warring against us, what it does is it exposes it to the light, and light weakens darkness. Light weakens darkness. It is expelled when we shine light on it by sharing our struggles with other people. James chapter 5, verse 16, we talked about this a few weeks ago. It says, therefore, and if it says therefore, you have to see what it's there for, right? Preacher jokes, so bad. Almost as bad as dad jokes, but not quite. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Confess your sins to each other. You're bringing it to light. You're tapping into the strength that we have in numbers. You're weakening the darkness that is attacking you by bringing it to the light. Y'all know that one of the probably the greatest art and maybe this opportunity that we have that we don't tap into is this thing called accountability. It used to be cool, and I think I told you guys we talked about this a few weeks ago for some reason. We used to do this thing where we had accountability partners, right? And we would, you know, like challenge, not just like, hey, stop being stupid, but also, you know, challenge each other and we would grow and all of that sort of stuff. But now it's like everybody's a maverick and a rogue and wants to do it all on their own. And we don't like the idea of being accountable to anybody else because I am fiercely independent. Does anybody else struggle with stuff like that? All right, cool. Confess your sins to each other. Well, how are you going to do that if you don't have anybody to talk to? Confess your sins to each other. Well, how are you going to do that if you don't open up and share with people what it is that's going on in your life? And pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so these are some of the ways that we can fight back against sin. Like, again, we think that we can fight hell like hell, right? We fight back with tenacity, and we fight back in numbers with the strength that we have in our numbers. And so let's move on. The last point here is the last way, another way that we can fight back that may not seem like fighting, but it is fighting just the same. So the last point is retreat is not necessarily defeat. Retreat is not necessary. See, I said something stupid earlier, and you guys are like, yeah! And then said something really good, and you're like, maybe it was so good, you're just processing it, right? That's what I have to tell myself. I have to tell myself that so that I don't jump off the stage like a berserker, okay? Retreat is not defeat. So the second combat technique, I love how it rhymes. The second combat technique, retreat is not defeat, we're going to look at today is one that might seem counterintuitive, and that is to retreat. Did you know that retreating is actually part of the military repertoire, right? It's something that you can do as part of your military strategy, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you are defeated. I think this is my strong belief, right? Not just my personal opinion, but my strong belief that there are certain situations and certain temptations that you're not supposed to try to stand there for and fight. I think that there are some that you should gird up your loins and get the heck out of Dodge. That's King James Old Testament, right? Gird up your loins and get the heck out of Dodge. I think that there are some sins that we are not equipped, we are not strong enough, we are not courageous enough, we are not powerful enough to fight, even in numbers, and we should run and flee and get away from it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Let me give you an example. It says this, four words, flee from sexual immorality. Isn't it interesting? Because, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, stand therefore, put on the armor of God, fight, 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 breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, sword of the Spirit, shield of faith, shoes that shod, you know, with the peace of the gospel, like all of these great things. And you're like, yeah. And then it says, but when sexual immorality comes, get out of town. Like, run, flee from sexual immorality. Why do you think that is? I think it's because there are some things that we can handle, and there are some things that we just cannot handle. Let me finish reading the passage. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. All of that to say, there are some things that we fight, and there are some things that we flight. Right? There are some things that, man, you absolutely challenge, you confront, you berserk. And there are other things that you're like, you know what? I'm just not good enough, strong enough, powerful enough to deal with and to confront this. And so I need to get out of this situation. I need to get out of this relationship. Hey, hey. Right? Y'all know we always hold on way longer than we should. Anyway, I need to get out of this situation. I need to get out of these circumstances. I need to get out of this relationship. I need to get out of whatever it is that you know that you're not strong enough to fight on your own. And maybe you're just not supposed to fight that fight. There's different fights to fight. You got to pick your battles, right? I think sometimes we are not equipped to defeat certain temptations and certain sins. Like, it's just not, it's not the way it works. And a lot of it is because of what I call, not what I call, like what we could call self-sabotage, right? Your body, your mind, your emotions, your hormones, your chemicals, all of these things can sabotage your effort to fight this fight against a particular enemy that you were never supposed to be fighting in the first place. You were supposed to be running from. And so here you are trying to fight, and then you self-sabotage, and you end up giving in to the enemy that you were supposed to be running from in the first place. We lose certain battles from within. Did you know that the greatest civilizations in all of the world are rarely defeated by outside forces? They always crumble from within, right? These power struggles and battles that happen, coup de grace, right? All of the was it a coup, right? A coup, C-O-U-P. I'm like, that's coup, dog. That's not coup. So all of the great civilizations crumble from within. I think that we lose battles to sin from within also. And so maybe instead of trying to fight, we should run. Let me give you another example. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22. That is a lot of twos. Anybody else notice that? Two. All right. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There's our strength in numbers, right? We call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The numbers is valuable, right? So flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Now, there's another version of this that says to flee from youthful lusts. A lot of people never grow up. They continue to struggle with the same things that they struggled with early on. Let me give you, and I think there's some vagueness to this intentionally, so that it can translate to several situations. Let me give you some examples of what we would consider youthful lust or evil desires of youth. When I was young, and I'll just frame this from my own perspective so that nobody feels like I'm talking about them, because everybody's so sensitive. When I was young, I wanted to be powerful. Oh, y'all didn't? That's cool. When I was young, I wanted to be rich. Not like white picket fence, 2.5 kids. I'm talking like bougie rich. When I was young, I wanted to be famous. I wanted people to know, put some respect on my name. When I was young, we also, this one's kind of the obvious, like the youthful lusts, right? When I was young, that was a problem. So you had all of these youthful, lustful things going on in your life. When you're young, you want to be powerful. You want to be famous. You want to be rich, and you want people to like you and all of these things that you struggle with. And that's part of the maturation process. We understand that once I was young, now I'm old, right? We grow and we mature. But the problem is some people get stuck in the struggles of their youth. And you're still dealing with some of the things. You're still trying to fight some of the things that you're not supposed to fight. You're supposed to flee from, right? You're still trying to fight the struggle to desires to be known, right? To be famous, to be, it's funny, just quickly, Tavian, today's your day, I apologize. Tavian tells me all the time, he's like, man, I want to be famous, right? I want everybody to know who I am. And I'm like, dude, I can't even get you to stand on the stage and talk. I can't even get you to come up here and stand beside me while I talk. You're all sheepish about it. I'm like, how in the world could you ever be famous if nobody knows who you are because you won't put yourself out there, right? Kind of an interesting dichotomy. But I think a lot of people, here's my point, all of that to say. Just trying to embarrass my children, it's great. I think the point is that sometimes we're fighting against things that we should be running from. And here's what I don't know. I don't know what your struggle is. Man, I don't know where you come from. I don't know what your story is. I don't know what your weakness is. I don't know how sin attacks you. I don't know how it targets and pinpoints and overwhelms and berserks in your life and uses numbers and kind of the inundation in your life. I don't know. I really don't know. But what I do know is that if you've been fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and you're not seeing any progress, maybe you should be running. Because retreat is not defeat. I think we've got this mentality, and maybe it's like this kind of this American alpha male thing that if you ever ran from a fight, then you're a coward, right? Right? But in militaristic terms, sometimes it's the greatest strategy that you can have because then you regroup and you better prepare, and then you go back and you actually win the war even if you lost a battle. Retreat is not defeat. If you're fighting against certain things that you were never built to fight, you're never going to win that fight. You are never going to win that fight. There are certain things that you need to be running, and yes, I said that on purpose. Grammar Nazis, right? That you need to be running away from. Stop fighting against things that are bigger than you, stronger than you, more powerful than you. Run away from those things. Flee from sexual immorality, the youthful desires of lust. Don't try to fight something that you were never intended to fight. On the other hand, there are some things that we're supposed to fight. And maybe you've been more kind of this hippie Christian where it's like peace and love and joy. And you don't realize that there is an enemy of your soul whose desire is to steal, to kill, and destroy. Maybe if you're not seeing growth and progress in your life, maybe it's because you're not being aggressive enough. Maybe you need to fight some of these things. Stop condoning the monster in your life. Stop justifying the monster in your life. Stop entertaining. Don't put a leash on it. Don't put a leash on it. It turns into a man-eater, right? It is a problem if you don't deal with it. So, again, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your struggle is. I don't know, how sin targets you. But I do know this. I know that God is for us. I know that He is with us. And I know that through Him and because of Him, we can be victorious. Be that fighting or fleeing, we can win our fight against sin. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for all that you do. God, for your love for us that you demonstrated on the cross. We're so thankful. God, we're so thankful that even though sin fights and overwhelms and sometimes we lose, God, that you love us anyway. And you pick us back up and you set us back on our feet and you beckon us to continue to follow you. God, and that's what we want to do. We just want to follow you, pursue you all the days of our life. God, if there's anybody in the room this morning that's just been fighting and they feel the weight of it. God, it talks about in Hebrews chapter 12 how sin is a snare. It's a trap. And if you're in this room this morning and sin has you in that trap, man, I want to pray for you specifically. Because it seems bleak. It seems hopeless. And there's a lot of despair. But sin is not the final answer. Sin doesn't have the final authority in our life. That position is reserved for Jesus. So Jesus, I pray this morning that if there's any person in this room, God, who's struggling with the weight of their sin, God, maybe it's the shame that they feel because of the things that they've done. God, I pray that you would do something special in this room this morning. Not just in this room, God, but in our hearts this morning. Do what only you can do. God, you said you came to bring freedom to the captives. God, liberty to those who are oppressed. So God, we believe you. And we pray for that this morning, that you would set some people free. God, the things that used to bind us don't bind us anymore. The things that used to intimidate us don't intimidate us anymore. When it comes time to fight, God, we will fight. And when it comes time to run, God, we will run because we know that retreat is not defeat. Jesus, we love you. And we are so thankful for all that you've done for us, all that you're doing for us, and all that you've promised to do. It's in your incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.